welcome to the Rapid Distraction Podcast for SportsNet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Wayne Malou, speaking to you after... I mean, we've seen this movie before, haven't we? Like, this is a reason why the Raptors are disappointing this season. This is the reason the Raptors are consistently frustrating all year. I mean, you have an opportunity here where you have four games at home with light opposition. Let's just be honest. Light opposition. The Pacers without Tyrese Haliburton, who, by the way, looked pretty fresh to me going through a full shooting report before the game and was knocking down everything. It's all smiles, everything, no problems at all. But okay, he doesn't play, which is probably a sign of Indiana not wanting to actually win games at this period of the year. They come to your building, having already beaten you twice, and this is the effort you see from the Raptors, losing by a score of 118 to 114. I mean, it's just so disappointing watching this. And you knew the Raptors were unserious from the start of the game. Because, look, you have a number of guys missing, right? I mean, to be honest, to me, Precious looked like he was going through everything fine in practice, was getting up extra shots up, then gave like a 10-second interview afterwards, clearly wasn't happy with everything that was going on. Then I was looking across from him. Gary was getting shots up. These guys were looking okay in warmups or in terms of at practice on Tuesday. But okay, they're not able to go on Wednesday. Scotty Barnes continues to be out with the wrist injury. That one, I believe. So you got three guys out of the group. And you're like, okay, well, maybe they'll be in tough because of that. I don't care. The defensive effort from the Raptors at the start of this game was simply terrible. It was so shocking how easily the Pacers are able to just walk into the paint and get straight up layups and just bad defense, bad, you know, team defense, bad communication, bad on-ball defense, bad man-to-man defense. Every kind of defense was bad. And you know it's bad when Nick Nurse goes to the zone with 3 minutes and 30 seconds left in the first quarter. I've already mentioned this a couple times on the show, but Nick has two reasons to go to zone. One is the tactical zone, okay? You really can't stop any dribble penetration. They really have some very aggressive players out there. You have some mismatches you want to cover up, and so therefore you play zone to take away the lane, okay? That's tactical. The other part, which sometimes looks tactical, but really it's unmistakable when you really watch closely, is the poor effort zone. And the reason for that is just let's get everyone talking, let's put everyone in their position, and let's just force them to actually play together. And that's the type of zone the Raptors played in the first quarter, where the Raptors lost 36 to 26. I mean, the Raptors actually won all the other quarters, not by a significant margin, but ultimately they won all the other quarters, but they lost the first quarter 36 to 26. What kind of message does that send to your opponent? They're coming in, they're losing, they're, you know, their best player is not in the game, you know, they're coming to a game on the road, and you are the hungry team. You are undeniably still trying to win, still trying to play in for what, all that kind of stuff. How is it that under those circumstances, you come out and give up that type of defensive showing in the first quarter? And I'm talking about Andrew Nembhard walking through the lane time after time after time after time for layups. And that's on your top two guys, man. Walks to the lane, you know, to the rim against Fred over and over again throughout this game. Even Pascal had a turn trying to guard Nembhard. He went through him. By the way, at the end of the game, Nembhard with a step back three from 30 feet to sort of, you know, clinch it. Bad switches, right? When you're talking about in the pick and roll, right? You know, Benedict Mathurin comes off a screen and both guys go to the roller. What are you doing? That's a three-point shooter, right? And why don't you just communicate on that? It's a simple play. The thing is, the Pacers in the first quarter got it so easy. They didn't even have to run plays. They just had to run the first action of their offense and boom, the Raptors would pop open. Like, it was unfathomable. Like, Miles Turner walking in for layups, Miles Turner walking in for and ones. All that is just bad switches on the roll. Raptors came out with no defensive purpose whatsoever. And I don't care that the Raptors can score a little bit on Indiana. The Indiana Pacers are not a great defensive team, okay? But at the same time, you need to come out with some intent and take over this game and actually, you know, play defense. And yes, the Raptors eventually play defense, but look, they just never were solid. They were never together. And again, against an Indiana team, which, look, I respect them a lot. Honestly, I respect them a lot. They come here with, you know, not their full roster, right? I thought a very cool move by Rick Carlisle, who, by the way, seems very chill these days, just comes out pregame, sits courtside, watches the warmups like me, and he's just chilling there, right? And, you know, he's got a different vibe to him. Devin didn't see him yell at anybody. The game was obviously, you know, tight for a lot of it. You know, he wasn't really pressing it like that. He seems to be shepherding a team that, despite their record, plays with a lot of togetherness, plays a lot of intensity. And ultimately, you saw in a game like this, you know, back in Toronto, obviously Indiana has three Canadians on their roster. And what does Rick do? He starts all three of them, right? O'Shea Brissett in the starting lineup, Andrew Nembhard in the starting lineup, Benedict Mathurin in the starting lineup. All three guys played great. All three guys played their games. I mean, Andrew Nembhard had one of the best games of his career. He should be on an all-rookie team, especially based on the way he's played in some of the more prominent matches. Obviously, you think back to his game winner in LA, and of course this game where he's, you know, back home from nearby Aurora. Like, man, he had a great performance. O'Shea Brissett with his hustle performance. Well, I mean, he had one of the plays of the night where Jakob Poeltl ripped down a rebound, but all of a sudden O'Shea Brissett, being smaller and out of position, jumps up, rips the rebound out of his hands, and the ball goes out of bounds off of Yak. The Pacers inbound the ball. The ball comes back out to O'Shea Brissett on a cut, and he just dunks it all over Jakob Poeltl. There's your free bingo square of the night. Yak getting put on another poster. And wow, O'Shea Brissett played his game and did his job and brought some physicality to the game on the wing. Better than Mathurin. He didn't really do much in terms of forcing his offense, even though he typically would do that. However, late in the game, boom, he pops a three. Then he gets the foul and goes to the free throw line a couple of times. And all of a sudden, he's also closing out the game for the Indiana Pacers. And listen, you expect these guys to make some plays because, you know, Andrew's a very good point guard. Benedict Mathurin's a very good shooting guard. He's one of the, you know, league leaders in six-man scoring. You know, O'Shea Brissett's a hustle player. We've seen him in Toronto. We see him now having success with the Pacers. You know these guys are going to play. But again, I'm talking about, yes, these guys can have good performances. Yes, Andrew Nembhard can have one of the best games of his professional career to date, but you still need to be able to play defense. And that's the thing for me that I'm just so baffled with the way the Raptors played on tonight. Like, it just was, there was no focus. And yes, we saw that in the first half, the Fred and Jakob pick and roll was giving them, you know, decent scoring, right? And then the second half, Pascal really took over and he finished the game very strongly, right? He had 31 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, only one turnover with a block as well. Got to the foul line 9 times, knocked out a whole bunch of shots in the fourth quarter as well, which is a big criticism against his game. You know, he had all that going today, but where was the defense? And it's, to me, it's just mind-boggling. Like, you have guys just, like, the Pacers came in here without their all-star, without Tyrese Haliburton. And it wasn't like Buddy Hield went off or anything like that. We know he's obviously got that scoring potential. They came in here and shot 56% from the field, 52% from three, and they just walked all over you. And down the stretch, they got all sorts of buckets from all sorts of guys, and the Raptors just had nothing for them. Like, you would not think on some of these nights that the Raptors are built primarily on defense, right? You just wouldn't think that, right? You wouldn't think that with the way TJ McConnell could just dribble around in a circle. I'm not even kidding. TJ McConnell tonight looks like when you took Bob Cousy highlights and colorized them for 2022 or 2023. Like, this guy was just dribbling in a circle. You come off the screen, dribble through the lane, you know, do the Nash thing, dribble through in a circle, turn around and hit a turnaround jumper. How many times? Right? How many times has TJ McConnell come in off the bench and sparked that whole group? And it's not like the Pacers are bringing, like, heavy hitters off the bench. We're talking about Jalen Smith. We're talking about Jordan Nwora. We're talking about Aaron Nesmith. We're talking about Isaiah Jackson with TJ McConnell running the show. And they're winning minutes. And you're supposed to go to the playoffs. You're the Raptors. You're trying to make the playoffs. You had just lost to the Bucks in a very competitive game. You had just come off of a week where you had three wins, which were looking good. And even the Bucks game, you can understand. It's like, okay, well, whatever. Sometimes things happen, okay? You know, you didn't play a good stretch, whatever. But that was still an acceptable performance. How do you go from that week to this performance against the Pacers? And not just the performance itself, because I can accept when guys miss shots. I can accept that the Raptors shot 7 of 34 from 3, which is 20%. Or that they missed 10 foul shots in a game where they lost by one possession. But I cannot accept how they play defense to start. Your defense is your intention in the game. And I just could not understand for the life of me how the Raptors came out and just walked around on defense and gave this team all the confidence in the world. You don't think these guys are nervous to some extent, especially some of the players coming home to Toronto? You know, Andrew Nembhard buying probably dozens of tickets. Benedict Mathurin, I've seen his mom sitting courtside and stuff like that. That was awesome. You know, these guys got family. O'Shea obviously is from Mississauga. Like, these guys are here, right? And what do you do in the first quarter? Just let them walk to the basket and give them all sorts of confidence so that they can just carry it throughout the game? Like, It's unbelievable. It's actually unbelievable. And I know Nick doesn't like it when we're like, oh, you know, talking about the effort, all that kind of stuff. How do you not watch this game and not think about the effort? Right? Not think about the effort. And this is not just because, okay, well, come on. They're missing three rotation players. We know the Raptors aren't deep in the first place. I don't care. I don't care. At minimum, guys who step on the court wearing a Toronto Raptors uniform need to come in, know what they're doing defensively, and do it with some energy and some smarts. Minimum. That's for anybody who checks into the Raptors game. And that, from now until forever and before till now. Like, that has to be the standard. And they just did not meet that standard. Meanwhile, the Raptors' decision, okay, so Nick's like, typically, I would start Scotty, but he's injured. I would usually start Gary in place of Scotty. Gary's injured. Okay, I've started Precious, the third most out of those guys, but he's injured. So who do I start in the starting five? He goes with Will Barton, which is, okay, I don't know what Will Barton has done to deserve a start, but sure, Will Barton is in the starting group, and it's like, let's give him a chance. And he comes in, he actually makes two plays early on. It's like, okay, maybe something. And then it just goes ice cold the rest of the way. 2 of 8 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3. One of the last memories of Will Barton in this game, and he played 23 minutes, so it wasn't like he had no chances to be memorable. But the Raptors kicked the ball out to Will Barton. It's a beautiful ball movement. The Raptors, two, at least three guys touched it on the play. Swing, swing, swing. Will Barton's wide open on the wing. He shoots it, and it hits the backboard. And the sound that it made, this like thwack, this like, you know, like just, You know, it just, you could tell that it hit no rim at all. Like, it was just, like, squarely. It's like if you try to, like, if you just cannonballed into the water. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of, like, And then the Pacers go the other way. Buddy Hield breaks for three. And that's just one possession. But I think that's the last possession that we really saw that of any importance from Will Barton. So he gets benched. Guess what? Nick Nurse says, I'm so sick right now. I'm going to go with Malachi Flynn. We're about to turn this into Mad at Me, all right? And guess what? Malachi came in, did his job. No complaints. Can you ever ask for more than 8 points on 2 of 5 shooting with 2 threes and making 2 free throws from Malachi Flynn? You really can. And yes, he turned the ball over twice. Yes, he wasn't good on defense, but that's all you can really reasonably hope for. He did more in his 18 minutes than Will Barton did in his 23 minutes. And meanwhile, all that is okay, but I just needed to see some defense in this game. And I'm not saying that the Pacers are easy to guard. You know, like, obviously they have lots of guards to spread you out. You know, it's the opposite of the Raptors. They have multiple guys who can create plays. But still, like, when you watch back on the tape, it's like blown switches that the Raptors can't handle. It's not like mismatches or like the Pacers running beautiful offense. It wasn't that. The Pacers played a B-level game. Like, really, just a B-level game. Don't look at the fact that they shot 56% from the field or 52% from three. So many of those are wide open because of bad Raptors defense. And they're just playing a B-level game with a rotation and a roster that is constantly changing because they're tanking, because Rick Carlisle is just trying lineups out there sometimes, especially when you watch these all-bench groups that are out there, and still the Raptors don't come together. Still, they don't pull up a stretch where they're like, oh, Indiana hasn't scored in 5-6 minutes. You know, man, it's just so frustrating. And even despite all that, the Raptors still had leads, right? The Raptors still had leads late in the game. And it wasn't a lot of points, right? It was like Pascal went on a run there. He gets fouled in the post twice. Then Pascal's posting up, kicks it out to Fred for three. Then Pascal's in the post, scores. Then Pascal and Fred both score. And all of a sudden, Pascal is in the post, kicks it out to Malachi. Malachi up fake, sidestep three. That put the Raptors up 73-71. And I was thinking, thank goodness the Raptors have turned, being down at 6 points at halftime, to now finally pushing the head over the top. Now you continue that push. And nothing. Just absolutely nothing from that stretch forward. TJ McConnell comes down for two of his classic Bob Cousy pull-ups, right? Then you got OG Anunoby airballing a pull-up three, right? And then, you know, you have just the Pacers continuously getting to the free throw line, or the Pacers continuously getting to the rim. And despite the Raptors making that effort, finally going up, Pascal really pushing on a stretch there, the Raptors still down 5 points. After all that, after they took the lead finally, they go back, they finish the quarter having only won it by one. So they're still down five. But still, the Raptors open the fourth quarter, and Pascal come out of the game early because of the fact that he was going to play the entire fourth quarter, which is exactly what happened. And this is the sequences, okay? Pascal gets fouled on a drive to the rim. Pascal sets up Malachi for three. Pascal with a mid-range jumper against drop coverage. Then Pascal finds OG for a high-low feed. OG really had TJ McConnell under the basket and didn't turn that into a dunk. Got fouled at least, made two free throws, whatever, right? And it was looking good. The Raptors are in that game. They're either tied or they're just like 1 or 2 points. For some reason, Nick Nurse decides to say, okay, even though Pascal's clearly got this, let me bring in Fred VanVleet with 9 minutes and 43 seconds left. Now, I understand you're definitely going to lean on your guys a lot. I mean, 43 minutes for Fred VanVleet is just ridiculous. But look, and you listen, you know this program is very friendly to Fred VanVleet. You know this program is not just friendly, just fair. More than anything else, just fair. When he's playing well, you got to give him his props. When he's playing poorly, you got to criticize his game. And this tonight was a case of both. First half, Fred played pretty good. Played the pick and roll with Yak. He was probably the only person who was ready to come out the game and start fresh. Although I got to say, Andrew Nembhard definitely torched him quite a bit on defense more than anyone else. I mean, it was Nembhard who was getting guarded by Fred. But at least Fred was creating a lot of offense to start the game. In the fourth quarter, Fred came into the game with Pascal clearly as the hot hand. And I just don't understand some of the shots. I just don't understand some of the shots. Like, yes, again, we have had nuanced conversations about Fred all year. So this is not me just picking on him. This is me telling you some of the plays that took place in the fourth quarter involving Fred VanVleet. Okay? We're talking about Fred walks up for a pull-up three where, you know what? He wasn't hot. He wasn't in rhythm. He wasn't open. And he just walked down for a pull-up three. It misses badly. And the Pacers go the other way for a layup. Right? That's one play, right? Another play where Fred takes an awful pull-up three. Luckily, Jakob Poeltl is wide open, is there for the putback, fights for it, gets fouled on the putback. Unfortunately, Jakob is not that great of a foul shooter, but at least you got some sort of, play out of that, right? Then you have Fred jacking up another three late in the game where the Raptors really needed, I think it was a four-point game. Fred jacks up a three after OG Anunoby turns down a three despite a good kick out from Pascal in the corner. OG could have taken that three or pump faked or stepped deeper in the corner. To be honest, that play should have been for OG to take the three. OG, for some reason, doesn't take it, probably because he's been cold tonight. Swings over to Fred, and Fred's like, I don't care if I'm cold. I'm going to pull up for three again. And nothing. Once again, another one that's not close. Meanwhile, the other way, Andrew Nembhard takes the pull-up three, makes it, and that's the game over. 7 points with less than a minute to go. It's a wrap, right? So those are the three that we're looking at there. Then you got a play where Fred drove in for what should have been an and-one. It was called as a charge. Nick Nurse immediately reviewed. Like, he didn't look at the guy in the back. He didn't look at the, screen in the arena. Nothing like that. Immediately, he was just like, timeout, review. All right, that's a gut review. And when we go to the monitor, we can see that, yes, TJ McConnell is in position, but he's moving, he's sliding. I don't really fully understand the rules anymore. I thought if you're moving and you're sliding, that's a block, but apparently not. Apparently he's in position, which the refs called on the floor. They go to Secaucus, they look at the replay, and they confirm that that's that. So ultimately, what does that mean? That is actually not an and-one for Fred. That's a turnover for Fred. So my point with all this is, why did Fred take a lot of these shots? It wasn't like, oh, I'm open, catch and shoot, and you missed it. I can live with those. I'm not going to complain about those. I promise you. I will not complain about those. I will complain in terms of, man, I really needed that. But that's not a bad process. To me, I don't understand what Fred came back into the game to do and why Nick put him in with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. It wasn't for his defense. We know that. Defensively, it was a challenge for him. But offensively, I just don't understand why they didn't play through it. Here's the thing. There are certain games where Pascal definitely disappears in the fourth quarter. There's no denying that. Tonight was not one of those games. Pascal had it going. Pascal didn't have a natural defender on the other side to protect him. The Pacers took a very long time to put Miles Turner back into the game at center, which if they were truly trying to win, they would have done that from the start of the fourth quarter, or at least 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Okay, Pascal's going to the rim at will. Let's put Miles Turner there because we have a shot blocker, right? That's how you know Indiana is not that serious about winning this game. And that's how the Raptors approach this one. And that's when the Raptors still lose this one. It's just, man, it's just this team. Like, this team, I don't understand. And yes, I'm going to give the Pacers a lot of credit because, you know what? I really enjoyed watching them play, just from a process point of view. Guess what the Pacers have? More than two players who can dribble a basketball. That's what it felt like with the Raptors tonight. They had two guys. Pascal and Fred could dribble basketball. If you want to count Malachi in there, sure, as well, okay? But they had two guys who could consistently dribble a basketball. Obviously, when Scottie's in, there's three, okay? On the Pacers side, they got so many point guards that even Tyrese Haliburton, who is one of my favorite players in the league, one of everyone's favorite players in the league. He's such a great passer and has also turned into such a great catch and shoot three-point shooter, not just catch and shoot, but pull up as well. And they got so many guards that they come in and like they spoil you, man. Like a guy like TJ McConnell would be, he'd be playing 25 minutes a night with the Raptors, no problem, if not more. Like the Raptors are hurting so much for that dribble penetration, but they play together, they swing the ball, and if anything tonight, they overpassed it, right? They had a lot of turnovers, and it wasn't just like the Raptors were like mugging them at half court and stuff like that. Sometimes they overpass it, and the Raptors were able to intercept, especially on the roll. But man, that's a team with shooting. That's a team that plays with pace. That's a team that plays free. That's a team that comes out and, you know, doesn't have like notable agendas. They just play. They just perform. Meanwhile, you look at the Raptors and like, we should be past this. Like, we are in game. Which game are we in right now? We are in game 73 of the season. There are 9 games left in the year, and the Raptors are still 3 games under 500. You're looking at a game tonight where Atlanta's playing, right? They're in a 123-123 tie with Minnesota with 50 seconds left. So I'll update you on the results of that at the end of it. Chicago's playing, you know, whatever. They're playing Philly, and they were down by 30 most of the game. So that game's a wrap. But, like, you just need these games. You need these games. And the Raptors came out with that little intent. I would say I can't believe it, but I've seen the whole season. You know what I mean? And I don't know. Sometimes it's beyond the actual basketball analysis. It's just, to me, I don't understand why they were not prepared to come out and play hard tonight. Like you go back and watch the first quarter and how many times these guys just broke down on defense, either on straight line drives or on one screen. That's all it takes. One screen is all it takes. They got to remix the Dua Lipa song. Like, it's so nasty watching them defend sometimes. And this is a team that is built on defense. I can't stress this enough. This is a team that's built on defense, and this is what they come out with. And yeah, there are good things that happen, right? They found Jakob Poeltl a lot. No one on the Pacers are really stopping his shot. He was able to get himself lots of layups, 10 of 12 from the field. You know, he doesn't shoot free throws well. We know that. 3 of 9 from the free throw line. There was a crucial play down the stretch where he went to the foul line and he missed one or missed both. You know, like, that hurts. That hurts. But overall, Yak is a positive player. You know, and I just think that, again, if the Raptors play as a team, if the Raptors play on, you know, connected on defense, maybe he wouldn't look so exposed at times. He's definitely giving his effort out there. There's nothing I have to complain about with Yak. He played great, right? Pascal, my only complaint, should have taken over earlier. To be honest, you know, it was looking like he was trying to set up the offense and everything like that. Third quarter onward, he was taking it and he was going with it. And he wasn't forcing his shots. He was just beating the defense over and over again. And that's what I expect. Let's be honest. That's what I expect. Indiana's not a team that has guys that should really slow down Pascal. When you look at across the roster, their option is O'Shea Brissett, you know, who's like, tries hard, but is not a defensive stopper, right? And they don't have any defensive stoppers coming off that bench, right? Yes, they have Miles Turner at the rim, but the Raptors now have Jakob Poeltl. They have another guy who can really, like, beat that double team if that comes from the center spot. So, you know, Pascal took over. My only issue is, like, maybe he could have taken over a little bit earlier. But listen, I don't mind. If you want to, like, you know, play and give other guys more opportunities and see who else is going, like, that's fair. But, you know, he was flawless in the second half. I really enjoyed, you know, I mean, like, look, listen. Just good things continuously happen from Pascal when the ball touched him in the second half. Now, to me, the game tonight, I thought Fred started well. I mean, Fred legitimately started well. It's one of those games where Fred with a pick and roll three to start. Then Fred drives in, gets a foul on Turner, gets free throws, right? Then Fred with a tough layup in, you know, Fred finds Will Barton back cutting for a layup. You know, Fred with a driving kick three to OG for three. Fred with a hard drive draws a foul. Like, those are good things. Those are all good things. But from that point onward, and maybe less so in the second quarter, I didn't feel like anybody played particularly well in the second quarter, but by the way, that applies to the Pacers. So the Raptors only, you know, what was it, 26 or 22 in the second quarter? Yeah, that's fine. But it just felt like Fred, the threes that he took in the fourth quarter, I just don't know if he took one good three. You know what I mean? And again, I promise you I wouldn't be complaining if it was a catch and shoot three on the wing, or it's rhythm, or it's pick and roll, and the good screen erases his defender, and the second defender is dropped back, and he pulls up for three. Those I'm fine with. Catch and shoot corner threes on the baseline, out of bounds, I'm cool with that. But I'm talking about when he just runs up the floor and just yeets a three. Why? What is that even going to do? Even if you make that three, what does that do? Is it changing the energy of the team? Is it the Pacers are folding? Like, oh man, Fred just made one walk-up three. I'm gonna go home now. Like, what is the point of taking so many of those in the fourth quarter? Especially, was it like because the Raptors weren't struggling to score? You had Pascal you can consistently go to on every single play. I don't understand. I don't understand the process. And to be honest, I don't understand the OG Anunoby process in this one. It's not that he doesn't give effort defensively. He does that. But tonight, you see multiple plays where it's like OG gets a steal and does he pass the ball, right? OG Anunoby, for example, got a steal in the first half. Pascal Siakam was up ahead in transition. He doesn't make the pass. And instead, OG tries to take it himself and gets blocked from behind. OG got blocked three times in the first half. And I think he got blocked another time in the second half as well. He's too good to be blocked four times, man. Like, it's not like when Fred drives in and whatever, he gets blocked. Those aren't good shots either, right? But, like, at least I understand. Fred is shorter than me. So when he drives into the lane against these, like, superhumans, yeah, he's going to get blocked. OG Anunoby is a superhuman. Why is he, when he gets blocked four times, that's just a case of bad awareness. And tonight, 2 of 13, a lot more featuring OG on offense. Did not look good. A lot of strips, not a lot of getting blocked. You know, 1 of 7 from three is obviously very bad. He's been shooting the three well recently, so I'm not going to complain about the catch and shoot threes. But there's just plays where he tries to take it ISO. And to me, I'm just like, obviously in the Bucks game, I was talking about it. I was like, okay, wow, they featured OG and it worked, right? And I was pleasantly surprised. And I was like, okay, we'll give him another chance to do it. This can't be what you do in the next chance. 2 of 13 from the field. And yeah, the steals are good. Yeah, he commits an effort on defense. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, I need both ends. You know, I need both ends. And he didn't really give it on both ends tonight. Offensively, I mean, like, this guy was marginally better than Will Barton on offense tonight. I mean, that's not slander. That's just facts. They both hit the same amount of shots, except OG took five more of them with a turnover. So you have that. And then whatever. The bench wasn't ever going to give you that much. Like, Chris did his thing, okay? Hustled, got some minutes. Guys were out, whatever, right? He wasn't the issue. Christian Okoko comes in for 10 minutes. I mean, wasn't an issue really for me. I mean, I think mostly he just set screens and contest shots at the rim. Obviously, he gives up some fouls, and Nick was irate. I mean, what else is new? Nick is looking purple again. But, like, he did fine. Malachi actually gave you a positive spark. Malachi might get a star. He played like Madame Flynn today, man. And then Jeff Down Jr., the guy who everybody is clamoring for, comes into this game, 6 minutes. I don't know. What was his job supposed to be? Shut down TJ McConnell? I guess that didn't happen. But he knocked down one jumper mid-range, end of the clock. I guess that wasn't enough to flip it. Oh, by the way, Minnesota has now just taken the lead over Atlanta to go up 125 to 124. So there is 3 seconds left. Hopefully, Minnesota can hold on to the game there, because at least then the damage won't be much for the Raptors. But who knows? We've seen Atlanta take the lead with 3 seconds left. So yeah, maybe if the Raptors don't, you know, the full court trap Trae Young again, I think, or Minnesota doesn't do that, I think they can win that game. And again, that's why this game is frustrating. Like, yeah, sure, like you're maybe once in a while you're bound to drop a stinker, or like maybe you're not too focused, man. It's a Wednesday. You just had your city social last night. You know, like, guys are out or the group. Okay, whatever, right? You might have something. The team comes in and knocks down a bunch of shots, which, I mean, I wouldn't even say that was true for the Pacers, but okay, at least they did shoot a high percentage from three. You know, like, things happen in the league. Oh, by the way, Minnesota has won that game 125 to 124, so thank goodness. The Raptors still remain one game back of Atlanta perpetually. But, like, the reason this is frustrating is because the Raptors have had so many games throughout the year where they have dropped it when they shouldn't have. And to me, I just, that's the story of the Raptors season. Right, they shouldn't be as bad as they are. They're probably not as bad as they are, but their performances consistently over the span of a long period. We're not talking about, oh, the Raptors had some bad luck here or there. We're talking about the Raptors on the season as a whole have just had a habit of dropping these games, right? Steph Curry, Andrew Wiggins are out. The Warriors come into town with like 3 wins on the road, and they smack you up and down the floor for a double-digit win, right? Like, you have games where Brooklyn, early in the season, the Raptors double team Kyrie. They swing the ball wide open to Royce O'Neal, knock down three. You lose that game, right? You have games in the season where, you know, you're playing Dallas. Pascal goes out in that game. You're taking the lead, but OG Anunoby gambles, fouls Luka Doncic. He goes to the foul line. You lose that game in a one-point game. You know, the first game you lose to Indiana. After the night before, you were just pantsed by Oklahoma City. The next night you go to Indiana. You take the lead. You have the lead in the fourth quarter. They run you out of the gym. They win that game. The game against Atlanta where Scotty has a layup at the buzzer. A wide open layup, and he misses it, and they go to overtime, and all of a sudden, you give Trae Young the chance to run the full court length of the floor, throw the layup to alley-oop to AJ Griffin. He makes it. You lose that game, right? How big would that game look right now in the play-in series, right? You had the game where you came out and you were winning in against Boston here at home, but all of a sudden, you know, you can't contain Peyton Pritchard and Grant Williams in the fourth quarter, and you lose that game, right? You have the game where you go to Orlando and you lose back-to-back, including the first game where you lose and you're in a four-point game, and that one you lose, right? Then you have the game against Sacramento here in Toronto where, look, Sacramento's been good this season, but the Raptors should have beaten Sacramento both times. That game, Fred has 39. Pascal, for some reason, can't make a layup. They lose that game primarily because of their defense, giving up 124 points. They lose 124 to 123. Then you got the next night against Brooklyn when the Raptors are here. They're playing them tough. KD and Kyrie are playing well. Guess what? Kyrie pull up three over Fred VanVleet. That's another three-point loss for you on the season, right? And then whatever, you have some injuries, but then you come back, you're full, mostly healthy, you go to Indiana, you have the lead in the fourth quarter, you again give the lead in the fourth quarter. You go to the game against Milwaukee, you have a miracle where Gary's able to hit that three while getting hit below the belt by Grayson Allen. You force overtime because of Scotty Barnes, who was taking over in the fourth quarter. Overtime, he doesn't touch the ball enough. You lose that game. Also because you overhelped on Giannis and he gets a wide open kick and shoot kick out three. Then you got the game against New York where you lose by 4 points, even though you beat New York the three other times. Clearly you can beat New York, but all of a sudden nobody shows up to the game except for Fred, and you lose that game by one possession at the end there, right? Then you have the game against Milwaukee where Brook Lopez gets himself ejected, flinging Gary Trent Jr.'s headband off. You have a prime opportunity. Giannis is out. Brook Lopez is out. We know what Brook Lopez is going to do. You all of a sudden you can't win that game. You lose 130 to 122. Then you have the game where you're up 12 points with, you know, 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter against Minnesota. You have Joe Wieskamp, who you have literally just signed off the street, hit three threes for you. You have how do you waste that? And you lose that game because of the fact that you got outscored by double in the fourth quarter. Then you come home to Boston. Again, you can't really close out. You lose 106 to 104. You know, like, it just happens over and over and over again. Two games lost against Utah, right? One on the road where you just can't score at the rim. The next one, you lose the fourth quarter 39 to 20. You know, that kind of performances. And that's why the Raptors are in this position, where a loss against Indiana late in the season feels this bad. Like, how much frustration has gone into this season? Like, let's be honest, right? I just went through like 10 minutes of recapping results. You win even three more of those, you're safely in the 7-8 spot with a chance to potentially get up to 7 or 6. But instead, the Raptors lose another one of these postseason performances. This is what they are this season. They're designed to torture you. Are they going to bounce back? I would sure hope so. Are they going to play three good games in a row? You're like, yeah. Then you're going to be like, well, the Raptors look okay. And then they have another letdown like this. I don't know why the focus cannot be there on a consistent basis. I just don't understand it. For the life of me, I don't get it. But anyway, to wrap up the show, your three stars. Pascal's your first star. 31 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 11 of 17 shooting, 9 of 11 from the free throw line. He missed one open three late, which, you know, was huge. But ultimately, everything else was there for him down the stretch. Played well, set up guys well, even defended well, had a great block. I don't know. I guess my only complaint is Pascal didn't shoot 25 times tonight. I would have rather he shot the ball 22 times like Fred versus Fred shooting 7 of 22 from three or from the field. Your second star, I guess Yak, 23 points, 8 rebounds. He was a minus 13. I don't want to hold that against him. 10 of 12 from the field, 3 of 9 from the foul line, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and assist. Yeah, he's solid. Like, he really is very solid. He's very reliable. He's clearly an upgrade. The Raptors just need to play better around him. But he played well. Very little complaints about Jakob Poeltl. It's not his fault. And then your third star, I mean, man, I don't want to give it to Fred. I'm sorry. The fourth quarter left a bad taste in my mouth. Fred objectively played well enough, but defensively was not good against Aaron Nemhard. forced those shots way too much in the fourth quarter, especially from three, when the Raptors didn't need to. Had five turnovers as well, which is pretty high for him. I'm going to give it to Malachi Flynn. He was mad at me, Flynn, today. So, your Gerald Henderson Award winner, obviously that goes to Andrew Nembhard. Happy for him. Very happy for him. Wish he was our wish he was the Raptors' backup point guard. Seems like the Raptors are stuck on Koloko no matter what. So even if Andrew had slid two more spots and been available at 33, I don't think the Raptors would have taken him. But he would be perfect. He would be perfect at backup point guard. We wouldn't be saying we got to convert Jeff Downs two-way, or we have to see what Malachi has tonight, or maybe Will Barton as a reclamation project. No, no. Imagine saying none of that maybe and just go with Andrew Nembhard. Like, here's the thing. Night after night, we see Canadian players come back to Toronto, right? It was Jamal Murray, it was Shea, it was Lou, it was Nikhil. Tonight, it was three guys in the starting lineup: O'Shea, Andrew Nembhard, Ben McMatherin. By the way, again, super cool move by Rick Carlisle to do that, to start those guys in their homecoming. You have all these great Canadian players in the league, and you look at the Canadian players that are ultimately on the Raptors. It burns me. It really burns me. Right? And that's no disrespect to Chris. Chris is excluded from this. But the fact that our Canadians, we have three Canadians, Pacers have three Canadians. Our Canadians are Chris Boucher, who is good, decent in his role as a bench guy. No complaints. It's obviously up and down, but, you know, again, generally good. Then it was Ken Birch, and then it was Delano Banton. And with all the talent coming out of Canada and the one team in Canada, and not saying that the Raptors had the high draft picks to take all these other guys. I'm just saying it's tough. It's tough. So anyway, that's your Reaction Podcast. Thanks everyone for listening. I'm sorry it was frustrating, but you know, the Raptors are frustrating. What can I say? Rate, review, subscribe. If you haven't already, go get tickets to the live show with Bobby Webster. Definitely going to be asking him some questions in that one. I'm sure he's frustrated as well, but it'll be a good event, more or less. And yeah, you can get tickets to that. Use the promo code HELLOWELCOME for a $20 discount. But yeah, seriously, it's going to be a great event, and it's going to take place next week. So make sure you get tickets to that next Wednesday. But yeah, in the meantime, the Raptors lose another one. And I wish it wasn't so, but this is the story of the Toronto Raptors. Like, I don't want to sound like Antonio Conte talking about Tottenham, but this is the history of Toronto Raptors this season.